Joining us this evening is Lazola Kati. Now, Lazola Kati is the fossil ad ban campaign manager who says the war in the Middle East is a warning for South Africans about the risk of relying on fossil fuels. She wrote in the Sunday World that when global conflicts disrupt oil supply, as seen during the Russia-Ukraine war, and now tensions involving Iran and the United States, which show no sign of evaporating anytime soon, fuel prices increase quickly. Now, this raises transport, food and taxi costs in South Africa, putting pressure on the poorest households. We welcome activist Lazola Kati on the line. Lazola, good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lazola, why do you believe that the war between Israel and the U.S. launched against Iran should not be viewed as a distant geopolitical drama unfolding far, far away, but rather it should be viewed as a warning, especially for us here in South Africa?
Yeah, so 100%. The belief, or rather the facts, are basically in the pudding at this point, particularly because South Africa has built its economy around fossil fuels. This is oil. And in the middle of all of this conflict is oil and fossil fuel sort of resources. And second of all, what we need to understand is even though South Africa has fossil fuel raw materials that are mined, they are produced in different regions. Now, this war also cuts across the routes. So what now happens is that alternative routes of transportation to bring back the finished product from the raw material, like your petroleum, your oil, need to come back into South Africa. That means increased prices for fuel. That means increased prices for transport. We're feeling it immediately. Just last week, Santaco released and said that due to these types of situations, taxi prices are going to go up. Now, this affects the majority of the country, a country population, particularly people that live below the breadline and mostly workers that have to get to work.
So, Lazola, the reality is that you see a real lesson from the Middle East crisis. It's not a case of South Africa needing more oil and gas, but there is a need for less dependence on them. And less dependence would be the key statement over here.
Yes, 100%. So the warning here and the lesson here is actually quite simple, and it's a warning that came through to fossil fuel companies in the 1970s. It's a warning that organizations and even some global north companies and countries have been giving to African states, and us activists actually pushing is to say we cannot build our entire economy around one industry. That's what we've done. This is why you hear our Minister of Mineral Resources, Gwede Mandasha, will constantly say, this is development. And this is why even now our political response to the conflict that's happening has been to further intensify oil and gas, because we're seeing this, or through the government, we're seeing this as an opportunity for development. But development actually exists in different industries, particularly for the future of the Global South and South Africa at hand.
You know what, Lazola, let's talk about what are possible solutions here. Now no solution to to the energy situation is going to happen overnight. To build up energy infrastructure takes years and years of investment, be it the grid or otherwise. But what do you see is the solution that South Africa should be looking at in order to become energy independent?
Yes. So first and foremost, the most, I would say, basic or first step is to end the continual contracts and permits that are given for further fossil fuel expansion projects. So cutting the permits that are given to fossil fuel companies to continue mining oil and gas, that's at least a pause on that. And all of that time can actually be invested into renewable energy markets, which are not impossible, by the way, particularly with the type of loans we have secured in the past 5 years from your France, your Germany, your IMF, to actually divest from fossil fuels. If we were to use those funds correctly. And the second part would be to look into a situation where we are doing a skills exchange with fellow countries that are within BRICS to talk about green hydrogen power. Those are not impossible solutions. The problem is that we're lacking political will. The government is lacking political will and is locked into the idea that development equals fossil fuels. The third point is a very good outline that is in the critical mineral strategy. There's a very good outline there that has not been implemented yet on skills exchange, hosting the different mines within the country could actually be easily converted, converted into renewable energy markets. So we do have some of the infrastructure, and we do have a lot of experts within the country that could assist to move this transition forward. The problem is that it is the political will, which is why we're locked in the just energy conversation and not just energy implementation.
Lazola, you know, there is a balance over here, right? You have a political structure that is keen on seeing immediate progress when it comes to the economy. But yet at the same time, we'll have to invest in what would likely bring benefits years later. So let's look at, of course, from a paradigm of investing in renewable energies. You have the government of the day, and this is not necessarily South Africa's government. It could be any government in a political system. They have to deliver goods and economic progress before the next election. And the quickest way to do that is to use what you have by way of an infrastructure. And that would be what? That would be your fossil fuels. If they were to make an investment in renewables and take that same resource and invest it there, the results would be seen. But 10, 15, 20 years, when that political apparatus, nobody would remember them. All they would remember is that in 2026, they failed to deliver on 3% growth or 4% growth. Somebody else did it 20 years later. How is the balance between immediate results that any government or country wants to see and an investment that's only going to yield you results decades later?
So the truth of the matter is the results in investing in renewable energy markets would give us economic, I would say, from a point of policy and from a point of political party or national government measure in a few decades. But the fact of the matter is the communities that are currently facing these mines would feel the changes immediately. Communities and vulnerable communities when it comes to fossil fuels like Mpumalanga, which globally has been declared the highest CO2 emitter in the world, along with coastal communities that are currently have 95% of the coastal areas leased off to fossil fuel companies, would feel that immediately. Now, the real question is, does the government want to satisfy its people, the livelihood of its people, the survival of its people, or does it want to impress in terms of local government or national government elections? This is where the tension really lies.
Lazola Kati, indeed a loaded discussion, and one that South Africa seriously, instead of just keeping it on paper, needs to progress with the just energy transition and on a better way, or doing better with it. And I suppose this conflict here, a wake-up call for those in the know-how that fuel prices or energy dependence on fossil fuel cannot continue into the extended future. Thank you for your time, Lazola, and thank you for your insights.
Thank you very much.